Warning, the following podcast may contain potential plot spoilers, but then again, it may not at all.
Hello and welcome to Potential Spoilers. I'm Kieran and I'm joined by Maddie D.
And Kieran, the son created rock and roll so that his parents could bang.
Whoa, most heinous.
Most excellent.
Wait, hold on, what?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
That's true. Okay. If you didn't want to know that, Kieran, then you shouldn't be listening to the show because that is a spoiler.
Yes. And typically what we do on this show, if you're a first-time listener, welcome.
Welcome.
Sorry about that weird parental sexual intercourse discussion we just had then. But if you're a first-time listener, what we do typically on this show is we look at the promotional material for an upcoming Hollywood blockbuster. Hopefully they'll come back out in cinemas again. My fingers are crossed.
My fingers are too.
And we look at the trailer, we look at the poster, anything we can get our hands on, and then we attempt to predict as much of the plot as humanly possible. We used to go to cinemas and see how well we did, but it's actually been, I think, 2 months since one of the movies we've covered has come out.
Yeah, so it might be more accurate for us to watch this on Netflix or something like that, but in the meantime, we're just waiting.
Yes.
Waiting in our bunker.
It's very much a waiting. It's very hard to do an up-to-date movie podcast when movies aren't coming out.
Yeah.
But this week, we're covering Bill and Ted 3, Face the Music. It's just
this long-anticipated movie, yes, by the way.
I think it's just Bill and Ted Face the Music, but it is the third Bill and Ted movie. But they're guaranteeing that it's coming out 1 month from now. So it's coming out at the end of August, I believe.
Excellent.
So if it's not going to go to cinemas, then it's going to be streaming on video on demand. And it's going to be the second movie in months that we've covered that's actually being released.
Now, we've heard this before because Tenet said something very similar. Other movies had said something very similar, but this is actually going to happen. They've actually they're going to...
Well, they've given a video on demand guarantee. So even if they can't release it in cinemas, because cinemas are back open, believe it or not. I don't know how long they'll stay open, but they are showing
films
currently.
In Australia, they are.
Yeah, that's
right. Other parts of the world, I don't think they are.
No, that's right. That's right. So yeah, for us, we can go to the cinemas and watch, I don't know, Terminator.
Yeah, watch something that's
something
like...
Something they're rerunning. They're just rerunning classics at the moment. They're just trying to draw people in.
Yes, yes. I think they were doing the whole Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah, that's right. They are. They still are currently. If we can't see Bill and Ted at the end of this month in cinemas, we can definitely see it streaming. We'll pay $30 for it like I did with Scoob.
Hopefully it'll be a little bit better than Scoob.
Yes, fingers crossed. In fact, I guarantee it.
Really?
Yeah, I guarantee you it will be better than Scoob. Or at least I really hope it is anyway.
Quite a bar set for this movie then.
So if you're not familiar with the whole Bill and Ted franchise, I suppose, since we're three movies deep.
It is a franchise, isn't it?
I think once you hit the 3-movie mark, you're officially a franchise.
Yeah.
Well, it's a trilogy, if anything. Can you explain to anyone who's not familiar what Bill and Ted is?
So Bill and Ted was a movie in the 80s that was about two dropkick students. They weren't particularly smart
They're like stoners that don't do drugs.
They weren't technically stoners because we don't see them doing anything or there's no suggestions of that I can recall.
No.
But they're kind of...
They're very much metalheads, but in a surfy sort of way.
Yeah, they're not too bright, but they find out that they are actually going to save the world through their excellent music. And to do so, they have to...
Well, that's not quite the plot of the first movie.
Isn't it?
No.
No, they were doing a... The first movie is about...
They're doing a history report.
They're doing a history report and they're about to fail. They need to pass because they're going to save the world
later.
That's
right, through music. That is right.
It's those two characters who are very, very dumb, time traveling. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Messing shit up. And I think we can expect more of the same from this upcoming movie.
And the second movie has time travel as well as going to hell, going to heaven, meeting death.
They die in that movie. Spoiler alert.
Mm. Robots.
Of course, they come back to life. Spoiler alert.
So it's got all the wackiness of the 80s.
So what is your history with Bill and Ted? I'm actually keen to know.
Yeah, I'll keep my history brief because my brother really loved this movie. So I watched it vicariously through him, my middle brother.
No, I didn't ask which brother.
Which Bill and
Ted movie?
The first one.
And like anyone cares which brother.
And then the second one.
The second one, Bogus Journey.
Yes, yes.
Wow, okay.
No, I watched the first one first and the second one.
How old were you when you first watched these movies?
God.
Is it a seminal movie for Matty D?
It would have been before I was 10 years old. Yeah, right. Roughly there. I liked it.
Bill and Ted age.
I thought it was fun. I'll tell you a little bit of trivia of my own life that I played the Amiga computer game of Bill and
Ted. Oh, there
was
a game?
Mm, yeah.
Jeez, I haven't done my research this week. I had no idea there was a game.
You could go into the phone booth and you could type in numbers and go to a random part of history.
That's really cool.
It's a really cool concept, yeah. But very limited because it was the Amiga. But
yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I enjoyed these movies. I liked the second one better than the first one, but the first one was just as fun.
Really?
And I was kind of
excited. A lot of people
excited.
Actually say that they prefer the first one over the second one.
Oh, really?
Like, they say the second one is just sort of like a redo, but lame. Yeah. But I don't really agree with that. I think I'm on the same page as you. I think like I prefer the second one because it's got more going on.
Yeah, they up the ante.
They don't go to the mall for 30 minutes.
Mm. But I was really excited when I first heard about this third movie. I think I heard about it a few years ago. They've been teasing it for a while.
2010 is when they first announced it.
So, yeah, I enjoy these movies and was looking forward to the third one.
There you go.
But not much deep history there.
Yeah. Well, your history might not be very deep, but mine is even shallower than yours.
Oh, yeah?
Because I watched the first Bill and Ted movie, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, for the first time last year.
Uh-huh.
I'd never seen it before.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's right. Never watched it growing up. But yeah, watched it for the first time last year.
Thoughts?
Didn't really think too much of it. I mean, it's a fine, fun movie.
That's all it is.
Believe it or not, I rewatched that movie and the second one, Bogus Journey, yesterday, just in preparation for the show. And I'm so glad I did, because if I went into this third movie not knowing anything about those previous two movies, I would have been completely lost. And my plot would have been even more of a mess than it already is.
So your plot's a mess too. I'm glad.
My plot is very much a mess. We can get into that in a sec. But yes, overall, these movies, I think they're fine. They're fun movies.
Yeah.
They don't set out to be anything too serious. No. And I think that really works for it. So if the third movie can follow suit, then I think they'll have something successful on their hands, fingers crossed. But does playing on nostalgia ever really work?
Yes. Yes, it
like,
does.
Since when?
Since
Blade Runner 2049.
Did we watch that movie?
Yes, we did.
We paid tickets for that movie, so.
A lot of people really enjoyed that movie, but I think we've discussed on the show that you and I are like the only people on planet Earth apparently who don't like that movie.
Apparently. Sure, nostalgia is good. Nostalgia, when you see something that, you know, you loved in your childhood, you're gonna give them more of a pass than you would.
So the Flintstone movie was big in your books?
Well, I watched the Flintstone movie as a kid. It doesn't really count.
So who is this movie aimed at then? Who is Bill and Ted Face the Music aimed at? Is it aimed at kids? Not really. No kids these days seem to know Bill and Ted. Is it aimed at the people who were kids when those original movies were big?
Yeah, I reckon the people that watched the movies originally.
So that's a very limited demographic. And I don't think it's going to bring in any new people either.
But Keanu Reeves is like the guy at the moment. So
yeah,
people
that's right.
will flock to see him in a comedy role.
And is Alex Winter the guy? Was he ever the guy?
No. Do you remember that movie
we'll talk
he
about
did?
Him
that weird plasticine movie where...
Freaked?
Yes.
Yes,
oh
I do remember that.
God.
What an interesting movie.
What a frightening movie.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm glad I didn't watch that as a kid, but anyway. You'll be pleased to know that the original writers, Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon, are actually returning to do this third movie.
Excellent.
They came up with the... Don't you want to do it with the guitar?
Yes, I do want to do it with the guitar.
Just say excellent.
Excellent.
There we go.
Oh my God, I did it.
Yeah.
It's magic.
So, as I said, Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon are returning. They came up with the characters originally themselves as a part of an improv group.
Cool.
They did theater sports and their go-to characters were Bill and Ted. So they came up with these characters and started using them in their improv in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, I think, improvised a scene as Bill and Ted to the movie executives in order to get the movie greenlit. So technically, Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon are the original Bill and Ted. You know, originally, they actually just wanted to do a skit movie. So the whole movie was going to be like a really long episode of, I don't know, Saturday Night Live or something like that. Where,
I mean, it kind of was.
Where they would play different characters.
Oh.
But Bill and Ted were going to be like a 10-minute segment in the overall movie.
Right.
So it was just going to be sort of like an improv movie. But then I think it was Chris Matheson's father. I think his name's Richard Matheson. He wrote a bunch of movies in the 60s and 70s. He actually suggested you could have Bill and Ted be a full-length feature. And the rest is history.
Literally,
yeah. So yeah, I think it's definitely a good thing that they've returned to do this movie. So you can rest assured, Bill and Ted fans, that the movie's going to be in good hands.
What I'm worried about is it's just been such a long time, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing I was saying before about playing on nostalgia.
I'm
Will
kind
that
of
work?
Worried that this might be a movie similar to the Dumb and Dumber sequel.
Dumb and Dumber.
With Jim and Carrey.
Or is it Dumb and Dumber 2? I can't remember sequel.
There's a sequel that doesn't have the original actors and there's one that does. I'm talking about the one
that was a prequel, not a sequel.
That was a prequel, you're right. Yeah. So the sequel is what I'm talking about.
Wow, we're confusing everybody now.
Yeah, anyway, let's move on.
I think, personally, just a little pre-prediction here, I think we're going to see a lot of the same jokes and we're going to see a lot of the same sort of like story format of the previous two movies.
Yeah.
Because this whole movie series is very much like a one-note joke dragged out to an hour and a half.
Yeah, but that's what people want.
But I guess, yeah, as you say,
that's what people want.
I've got to say, when I watched both movies yesterday, I was enjoying the movie and then I was just like, yep, it feels like the movie's wrapping up. And I checked the time and I was only halfway through the movie each time. So I was just like, oh no, what are they going to do for the next half of the movie?
They go to hell and there's that whole weird thing.
Yeah.
where they're in their own personal hell.
Or in the first movie when they're running around the mall for what feels like a really long time and Napoleon goes to a water park, even though I did like that scene.
That's great.
I was disturbed by his see-through clingy swimsuit, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You can see everything about Napoleon. Not as short as he appears. But anyway, moving on. Let's talk about what we know about this new movie so far. What do we know so far, Matty?
So far, we've had one trailer for a while. And as of this week, another trailer has just come out, which we were so very lucky. Excited for.
The trailer actually premiered at Comic-Con yesterday. And they had a full panel with, I think, Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson were there, as well as Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves. And they talked all about the movie. So we are so lucky that we have all this new information, because we originally had, as we said in the last episode, we originally had zero information.
We had that one trailer.
Yeah. And that trailer really didn't give too much away.
So the information that we have that we can kind of take away from these two trailers is that Bill and Ted are in their 40s. They have two daughters that are become teenagers at this point.
Yeah.
They're kind of fulfilling their destiny later than they should have been, I guess.
Yeah.
Using time travel.
And I suppose the specifics of that is really up to us to predict, like, why they haven't fulfilled their destiny and all that sort of stuff.
We're seeing a lot of time traveling in the future, in the past. We're seeing death come back. We see hell. So we see a future Bill and Ted that are all buffed up in a prison, or what I think looks like a prison. So there's a lot of...
See another future Bill and Ted.
We do. There's a lot going on.
So yeah, as I said before, I think they're just going to revisit a lot of jokes. It's going to be like, I think in a lot of ways, a Bill and Ted best of. So I'm not sure how much new they're going to bring to the table. But as you say, I guess that's what the fans really want.
Well, the demographic they're after is the people that watch the movie. So
yeah. Well, fans of the movie.
It'll be
and
fun.
The writers have actually said that this is very much for the fans.
We're giving it to the fans. Yeah. Just like Ghostbusters.
Yeah, just like, what is
his
name?
Hey, that's a nostalgia-based movie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We seem to have a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
They want to get Generation X back into the
cinemas.
They're
milking the teat of the 80s nostalgia. Yes.
All right, let's talk about who's in the movie. So, returning as Theodore Ted Logan is, of course, Keanu Reeves, who we seem to talk about every second week on this show, because we talked about him in John Wick Chapter 3, of course. We talked about him in Toy Story 4, where he was Duke Kaboom.
Yeah.
And he was also himself. No, he was Sage in SpongeBob Sponge on the Run, if you remember that. And I think we even discussed him in other movies as well that he wasn't even connected to, like Hobbs and Shaw. We'll get to that
in
a future episode.
He was going to be in, yes.
Yes, that's right.
He's everywhere at the moment. He's much beloved.
Yes. And of course, Bill and Ted was like his first major role. So I suppose he really wanted to bring a lot back. He owes a lot to this character. So he wanted to honor it in a way.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because he starts off as a comedic character, a comedic leading man, and then goes into action star and Speed and Matrix and all that.
And yeah, he's very much, you would consider him now to be the action guy.
Yeah.
So to return to comedy, well, I suppose he did it with Toy Story 4.
He's kind of returning to comedy now anyway.
Yeah. And doesn't he look weird without a beard now? I can see why he grew the beard, because he is looking old.
Yeah.
Because he looks great with the beard.
He looks amazing with the
beard. Shave the beard off, he looks like old man. Speaking of looking like old man, returning as William Bill S. Preston Esquire is Alex Winter, who the only other movie that I've seen him in aside from Freaked was The Lost Boys, which I think was his first
major pitch.
He was one of the vampire rat pack.
Yeah.
Every time I see him in that movie, I'm like, excellent.
What else did he do other than that?
Not much.
I can't really.
He actually went on to be a director, so he's actually directed a lot more movies than he's appeared in.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, he never hit it off the same way that Keanu Reeves did. I'm just going to be a little bit jealous. Maybe he was desperate. He's like, guys, you got to write another Bill and Ted movie. I really need this. He's just going to John Wick with his arms folded. He's like, that should be me up there kicking ass.
Especially because they pretty much were the exact same character.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What happened? Well, I guess Keanu Reeves was always the better looking of the two. I mean, I'm not saying
Alex Winter is
an ugly guy, but like out of the two, the heartthrob was always Keanu Reeves. He was the tall one.
Yeah, it's like
the chiseled
features. Everyone usually prefers the one with black hair than the one with blonde hair.
Yes.
I think that's where the talent lies. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Introducing for the first time, playing Wilhelmina Billy, aka Little Bill Logan, is Bridget Lundy Payne.
This is so confusing that they named the opposite child Bill and the opposite child. Anyway, yeah.
No, they didn't.
Well, Billy is Ted's kid.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't even consider that. Oh, well, it doesn't change my plot at all. Wow, no. That is weird.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it so confusing? So Billy is Ted's kid.
I think, like most people, I presume that their children were boys because they called them Little Bill and Little Ted at the end of the second movie. But, yeah, of course,
that,
they're girls. But
probably,
they're sticking to the Little Bill and Little Ted.
Yes, that probably was what they were going to do, but maybe they tried to change it up to, I don't know.
What's funny is they only revealed what their names were yesterday.
Yeah.
Before then, we had no idea. So I actually started working on my plot last week. And you will not believe what I presume their names would be. Because obviously, I hadn't watched the second movie yet, so I didn't know that they were going to be Little Bill and Little Ted. But yeah. I was just like, well, they've got to keep the names Bill and Ted. So I guess that one of them would be called Billy. And I thought that the other girl, I'm like, what's the female equivalent of Theodore? Theodora.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, she'd be Dora.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense, right? But no, she's Thea instead. So I was so close. But yeah, I actually predicted a lot of stuff that ended up being in the trailer. So I was so happy because obviously I'm on the right mind track with my thoughts.
You're thinking along those lines.
Back to Bridget Lundy Payne. Now, they're actually another non-binary actor. So you're not allowed to refer to her as she, Maddie D, or he. It's they or them.
Uh-huh.
Keep that in mind when you talk about her. You probably won't talk about her too much from now on. But she was... But they were in Downsizing.
But in the trailer, they refer to them as your daughters.
In the movie, she's playing a character. She's playing a girl in the movie.
Okay.
But in real life, she's non-binary. And she was also in Action Point, that Johnny Knoxville movie about the shitty theme park that they blow up at the end. Spoiler alert.
I think she was in a TV show recently as well. I think they were in a TV show recently.
Yeah, you're right. I think they've done more TV than movies at this stage. Comedy, I think. So, well cast in this role.
I like them as Little Bill. Like,
yeah,
they really remind me of Keanu Reeves. Like,
let's get to Little Ted as well so we can round out this conversation. So, playing Theodora, Thea, Little Ted Preston, who is, of course, Bill and Joanna's daughter, I didn't realize until right now, is Samara Weaving, who I think she was originally in Home and Away, which is a soap opera here. She is Hugo Weaving's daughter, if you didn't know that. They've got a very similar face, which kind of disturbs me.
That's why she was cast, right? Or not why she was cast,
Wow, nepotism, huh, Maddie D?
Didn't Keanu Reeves say that that's how they knew her originally?
Yeah, I think that's it. Well, she was recently in a movie called Ready or Not, which we almost covered on this show, but then I decided I couldn't be asked. And she's also coming up in another movie we're going to talk about in the future, Snake Eyes. So she's very much an up-and-comer at the moment.
Cool.
So yeah, these two, it's very interesting. I wasn't sure when I was originally predicting this movie, I wasn't sure that these daughters would be similar to Bill and Ted. Like, I thought they might be a little bit like too cool for school and might look down a little bit on their dads, but they're
very much the same.
They seem very much identical to young Bill and young Ted.
I'm going
to
make an early prediction that they will be identical, but they're going to be like smarter.
Yeah, well, that's probably not a difficult challenge.
Mm.
Are women ever really like this in real life? Have you ever seen like a female version of Bill and Ted?
I haven't seen a male version. Oh, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say I've seen plenty of male versions of Bill and Ted, but I've never seen like a female version. But if they do exist, can you point me in their direction? Because it kind of does something for me.
What?
I don't know why.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. There's a mutual friend that we have, I think, fits that description.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to tell me about that later. Anyway. Oh, wait, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I changed my mind. Moving on. So returning as the Grim Reaper, aka Death, is William Sadler, who you probably know best as Haywood from The Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Did you realize that was the same guy?
Absolutely, because I've been a fan of this actor. And also he was in the Green Mile.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of Frank Darabont movies.
And he's in a crime show as well. Isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, plays a lot of military guys as well.
Yeah. I had no idea. I always knew the image of Death from this movie, but I had no idea it was William Sadler until recently.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It just doesn't look like him.
Yeah. And he was a show stealer in Bogus Journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that's why they wanted to bring him back for this movie.
Oh, they could not bring him back.
I suppose in what capacity he'll come back, we'll discuss. But next up, playing Kelly, the messenger from the future, is Kristen Schaal.
Now,
I don't know how to say her surname.
Kelly is the name. Is her last name Carlin? Because it's like...
Well, it could be. I don't think she has a name,
a last name
in the movie. But she is based on Kelly Carlin, who is...
George Carlin's daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, George Carlin used to be Rufus in this series.
Yes, but he is unfortunately dead.
But appearing in this movie, apparently.
But still appearing in this movie. We'll discuss that in a sec. But Kristen Schaal, I hope that's how you say your name, like I'm talking to her. I hope that's how you say her name.
She was recently in the David Spade movie.
Was she?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think most people know her as the youngest daughter from Bob's Burgers. But I first saw her in the pilot episode of Mad Men.
Oh, really?
Where she only appears in that episode and no other episode. They replaced her with a cheaper actress.
Oh damn.
Or maybe that she just sucks. Had other commitments. She had Big Bob's Burgers episodes to record. Couldn't commit to Mad Men. Yes. So the last person I really wanted to talk about playing the great leader is Holland Taylor, who you may know as the mum from George of the Jungle or the mum from The Truman Show. And just to change it up a little bit, she was the grandmother in Spy Kids. Always seems to play like a bitchy mother or grandmother. Have you noticed that?
Someone that likes a drink as well.
Yes. Like the snarky mum. When you can't get the mum from I, Tonya and Juno, you get this woman instead. You get Holland Taylor instead. Mm. Yes, so she's playing the great lead. In every movie, the universe, or like the command center of the universe, seems to change. So this is
politics.
Like another universe that looks completely different to what they'd established in the previous two movies.
Yeah.
So I think one thing that is constant about the Bill and Ted movies is not being consistent.
Yes.
Like Spider-Man Far From Home, as we discussed last week. But of course, I wanted to mention, you've mentioned him already, that George Carlin is returning as Rufus through the use of archival footage, probably outtakes from the previous movies. Mm-hmm. What capacity he'll appear in the movie, I guess we'll have to predict.
We'll explore that.
And of course, Frank Welker is returning as the voice of Satan and Station. And of course, Frank Welker most famously appeared in our recent episode, Scoob, as the voice of Scoob.
Now, who was Station?
You don't remember Station?
Nah.
Wow, you should have rewatched that second movie. Yeah.
What was
Station? He's going to appear in this movie.
He was a robot, right?
No, he wasn't a robot. Let's see if he can remember, folks. What do you think Station was?
Was it a spaceship?
Oh, yeah, he was a spaceship. The character of the spaceship, my favorite.
I don't remember Station at all.
Station was actually two beings. They were both called Station, who could fuse into one being.
Oh, are those weird alien
yes,
things?
Yes, with the big ass. Yes, they're coming back in this movie.
No wonder I forgot about it.
Yes.
Are you serious? They're in this movie?
And I tell you what's weird. The lead guitarist from Faith No More. The lead guitarist from Faith No More at the start of Bogus Journey comes out, and when he introduces himself to the audience at the Bill and Ted University, he actually shouts out, Station! And I was just like, Station? What does that mean? And then took me the whole movie to realize, oh, he's referencing Station, who doesn't appear until the end of the movie. But because, you know, this is set in the future, they already know about Station and his importance. So it was kind of a clever joke, if you think about it.
Great, Station's back. Great.
So you're not a fan of Station?
No, I was not a fan of Station. It was unnecessary. Are you saying?
Well, yeah.
You enjoyed that?
That was in the second half of the movie where I was kind of over the premise. But I liked his big ass.
Yeah, that's what does it for you, right?
Yes. So it's apparently female versions of Bill and Ted does it to me and Station's ass. Those are my kinks. So let's get into our plots. I believe you're going first.
I think I am, right? This is going to be interesting. All right. So let's go straight into it. So we're going to have...
I would not be surprised, by the way, if we do have exactly the same plots.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Because that second trailer gave us a lot of information.
I think that's what's going to happen. But maybe we might have a few differences. We'll see. Because obviously I didn't realize Station was going to be in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to be so vital to the story. He plays so much into my plot.
Oh,
yeah.
It doesn't for me.
He's going to be there through the whole movie in my plot. No.
Okay.
All right. We'll see.
We'll see. So... Originally, it was going to be a cold open, which was going to be, I'll tell you what I was originally going to have because I've changed it a little bit. We're going to have a flash of a crowd while the Wild Stallions are playing music, but it's actually an
By the way, the Wild Stallions is Bill and Ted's band.
Bill and Ted's band. But the audience is very underwhelmed and we see that they're playing at some sort of like...
Go on, say it. Say
like
it. Is it a dingy nightclub?
Or like a rest home because there was rest home people.
A retirement home.
Yeah, because there were like rest home characters credited in IMDb.
Oh, wow.
But I'm going to change that. And I think that is not going to be in the movie despite being in the trailer. So what I think it's going to open up is Bill and Ted's couple counseling session.
Right.
Where they seemingly have marital problems because Bill and Ted...
I take back my prediction that our plots are going to be similar. I take it back already. But yeah, go on.
It's going to be about Bill and Ted never really grew up from the kids that they were.
Yeah, well,
way
that's
back
a given,
when,
isn't it?
And they're not too bright, and that's going to be the gag.
But they can lift heavy things.
They never want to be separate from each other either. That's going to be another factor. Is like,
I wonder if there's like a whole swinging aspect that we're not privy to. Maybe they'll get into that in couples
maybe
therapy.
They will be.
Therapy.
But anyway, we're going to go to the next scene, which is going to be a wedding. And we're going to have the typical peaceful music that
Whose wedding is it? Is it just
every,
a random wedding?
Wedding scene. It's actually going to be Deacon, Ted's brother's wedding.
Interesting.
Mm. So whilst people are taking their seats, there'll be an elaborate introduction. And Bill will be on the mic in the background saying that the greatest rock band in the world is about to perform. There'll be lasers. Bill will introduce them as the band that saved the world, that traveled through time, that did all these wonderful things that we all have seen in the previous movies.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Ted will appear. They'll perform. It will be terrible. The audience will not like it.
Wait, what sort of music will they perform?
They'll play weird experimental music.
Right. Okay. And why are they doing that?
Because they're still, you know, trying to become a rock band
at
this stage. So they're taking any gig that they can get, including their
Weddings.
Brother's wedding.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I just made a comment here that in the lore, Ted's brother is supposed to be like a drug lord. they sort of tease that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of like theories about that.
Well, he only appears in the first movie and only briefly.
Yeah, but...
Where he ditches Napoleon at the bowling alley.
But I don't think they'll go in that direction. I know Deacon appears in the credits, but I don't think... I think this will be...
You actually see him in the trailer.
Yeah.
No spoilers, but you do see him in the trailer.
Yeah.
He's not, believe it or not, wearing like a tuxedo at the wedding.
Really?
So, interesting.
I might be wrong.
But,
I might be wrong.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Who else's wedding would it be? Anyway.
I have some theories.
So Ted's father will talk to them after their performance.
By the way, did you recognize Ted's father from anything? You may not have.
Yeah, yeah. He was in Step Brothers.
Yeah, that's right, he was.
Stuff. Yeah.
But I know him best from L.A. Noir in
really?
One mission where
he
goes,
right.
So what if I took a look at that car?
That's right.
The console's car is the name
he
of
does
that
a,
mission.
He does a good De Niro face in that
yes,
mission.
Yes, he does.
So
no one's going to know that reference.
Ted's father, who is a military man, he says that they're delusional. And
he's a policeman.
Isn't he? Oh, no. He tried to get them into military school.
We tried to get Ted into military school.
But in
what's his name? Coates. Coates Military School.
That's right.
But yeah, he himself is actually a police captain, I believe.
Yeah. I'll tell you something funny. I saw it credited as Captain Logan, and I actually looked and Googled who Captain Logan was, and I found out there was like a historical figure called Captain Logan.
Oh, there you go.
And he was like an explorer, and he like was an Australian explorer as well. And I was like, oh, okay, they must visit him, right? That makes sense.
Right.
And then like I looked at who was credited, I was like, oh, actually, it's his dad.
Yes. Yeah, he's a police captain.
He's a police captain.
Well done, Matty D.
Again, I haven't rewatched these two movies.
Like anyone's going to know who Captain Logan is. Jesus Christ.
So yeah, again, he just tells them that they need to give up the wild stallions and focus on being fathers to their teenage daughters. So this is going to be where Bill and Ted go home and they meet their daughters who are exactly like them.
I thought it was their same. I thought it was Bill's house from the first movie that they went back to.
It kind of looks like it.
It kind of looks like it, but it isn't because I compared the two.
It might be.
They might say that it is, but I think the actual house was demolished years ago.
Yeah, whatever house it is, this is where their studio is.
Yeah, in the garage.
Bill and Ted will go into their studio after like having the introduction to their daughters, which is just a room. Their studio is just a room. Could you imagine that recording in just a room?
It wouldn't be in the garage again like it was in the other two movies.
Doesn't look like it is in the trailer.
Fair enough.
And they have a conversation about whether or not this is their destiny to become the famous rock band that saves the world. And Ted's going to play the part of, I think we should just give up, man, where Bill is like, no, Bill. No, man. I mean, no, Ted. I get confused with between each other as well. It's going to be our destiny. We got to fulfill it.
Shut up, Ted. They tried to make that a thing in the second movie and that just fell flat.
Yeah, what the hell? So this is where Kelly appears. She comes from a pod in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Pod from the future.
Yep.
Little space pod. She takes Bill
and Ted. Hasn't come out yet, so it will be in the future.
It will be.
Yeah. Sorry, folks.
She takes Bill and Ted to meet the Council of Leaders of the Universe.
Yeah.
When we get a look at the future, we'll get to see all these cool things. One of them will be a hologram of Rufus, who has clearly gone up in the world. And this will be all taken from stock footage.
Yep.
Which will be where
clever insertion there.
Rufus. Exactly. It's not going to be the
Rufus!
Only time. The only time you see him. Yeah, they might say that. They might be like, hey man, it's Rufus. He's really big now. Because he's a hologram.
Can we see Rufus? Moving on.
Well, that's why, that's funny because Kelly actually explains that she is the daughter of Rufus.
There you go.
There you go. Seamless. The council, they meet up with the council and the council tells them that they haven't been living up to their destiny and that, as history shows, in a few hours, the trailer gave us a time frame, it might have even been a couple of minutes, like from present day, they were supposed to perform a concert that was to save the world. And currently, right now, they're way off achieving that goal. They're just performing concerts.
I think it was that night, they said.
Okay, well then it's that night. But yeah, so they're just performing in front of slim crowds and no one is really liking their music.
You're going to say Slim Pickens.
Slim Pickens.
Is their number one fan, even though he's been dead for years.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
So to save the world, they need to perform this concert that they were supposed to do, as history shows, in their world.
This is something they established in the first movie.
So they're like, get going, Bill and Ted. You're supposed to, you know, and there'll be a lot of comedic
catch you later, Bill and Ted,
where they say, be excellent to each other, party on, dudes, and they've gotten over that sort of catchphrase by now.
Yeah.
So the leaders are like, well, you got to get cracking, boys. You got to perform this concert, save the world. And they go into a room which is full of all these old school guitars that they can pick from.
Including the guitars that they were given by Rufus in the first movie.
Exactly. So Ted says he's tired of doing this and suggests that instead of creating a new song, because how can they do that? Why don't they time travel to their old versions of themselves?
Well, isn't it the future version of themselves?
The future versions. Well, older versions of themselves.
Yeah. But the old versions of themselves presumably would be the young versions of themselves.
Yeah.
They wouldn't travel back to the future.
Well, they're traveling to the future when they've already made the song.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Just trying to make that clear for everybody.
And in quotation marks, steal the song from themselves so they don't have to do any work. Because when do these characters ever want to do any work?
Never.
So they're going to...
Unless it's painting that really elaborate mural in the back wall of their garage.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yes.
So guess what? They go through a museum, which is dedicated to Bill and Ted because they're global icons.
That sort of was in the first movie, in a very loose way.
And they find a dusty old phone booth in this museum. During this, they're going to have a tour guide who describes this as a primitive form of technology that was made to emulate a device for people to communicate from large distances.
Yeah, because in the first movie, it's originally a sort of like a giant crystal which transforms into the phone booth to look less conspicuous in the 80s.
And now it's aged a
lot. Yeah, and now phone booths don't exist. So.
Yes. And all the kids that are listening to this tour guide or not listening to this tour guide are all on their future phones, which are going to be like really small and over the top and elaborate, and they aren't paying attention. But they will pay attention because all of a sudden the booth will light up and Bill and Ted will go to the past in this sense, but the future in their world, if that makes sense. They're going to meet themselves.
Why can't you just say the future? Why can't you just make it easy?
Because they're in the future right now.
Yeah, but they're from present day. They go to the future. So yeah, I suppose they're going from the future to the past, which is technically their future. All right, I can see you. I'm with you now.
They're going to meet themselves a little in the future when they've already written the song.
Yeah.
So they go where this is calculated to be, which is a future prison. Huh. This is a little bit sus. So they walk in and they meet a buff version of Bill and Ted singing about how they're going to kill Bill and Ted and destroy the world.
Wow.
When they
talking about killing themselves?
Yeah, yeah. So when they're introduced to this version of Bill and Ted, the buff version's like, what'd you think of our song? Just like in the trailer, and Bill and Ted are like, eh, it's a little bit dark.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all right. So when they have this dialogue, they realize it's not their future selves. This is going to get really confusing.
Wow.
But it's going to be the evil Bill and Ted from the second movie.
That were destroyed.
Yes, and then rebuilt and then sent to jail.
Who rebuilt them?
I don't know, someone.
And why did they rebuild them buff with heinous and excellent written on their chest?
Because they're in jail they're like lifting weights.
By the way, Bill's muscles look really, really fake.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. But I think they're supposed to.
Yeah.
So then they ask...
Maybe it's a gag where they are fake muscles.
Yeah, maybe. So they ask their evil versions where their current versions are, which their evil versions, which is going to get really confusing, say... Those losers are living in the past. They went in time and they went back to the past and they're living there now.
All right. Interesting metaphor.
Bill and Ted say that they need to find their versions of themselves to write a song to save the world. And the evil duo decide, well, wait a second. We can actually get that song and use it to destroy the world because we're evil. And in doing so, kill Bill and Ted.
Again.
Again. You know, why break formula?
Yeah.
And steal their phone booth.
Wow. So it's like Back to the Future 2 with Biff.
Yeah. Bill and Ted will go to heaven at this point.
Again.
Well, you know, we're going to all the famous locations here. So they get told while in heaven, if they need to get back to their own world, they need to win a game with death.
Yep. Sounds familiar.
Sounds very familiar. So we're going to stop this and we're going to go to another subplot, which is going to be what the daughters are doing. So whilst this is all happening, it's going to flash back and flash forward.
Yeah.
But essentially, Kelly comes to the daughters explaining the situation that Bill and Ted have disappeared, taken the phone booth and left, and that they need their help to write this song. So what they decide to do is travel in time and find famous musicians in history.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of using a phone booth, they actually have cool watches because the technology is more advanced now.
Oh, there we go. They've got the Tenet watch.
They do. So here are the people that they're going to visit. They're going to recruit George Washington.
Musician, George Washington.
Yeah, but he's credited and you can see him riding Shotgun with Death. So
he's in there. Go.
We're going to have Mozart because he's clearly in there. We're going to have Cleopatra.
Wait, hold on. Wasn't it Ted's dad who's riding Shotgun with Death?
No.
I think it is, but I guess we'll have to revisit the trailer.
Okay, well, we will. But he's all dressed up in old-timey stuff.
He's wearing a tuxedo from the wedding.
Is it Ted's dad?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I might be wrong, I might be right. They're going to go get Cleopatra. Yeah, she can play something. Famous musician, because there's Egyptian people credited in this movie, so got to go back to ancient Egypt, because there's a pharaoh as well.
Wow. Are there any actual musicians in this group of musicians that you're
Mozart?
Collecting? Oh, okay.
We're going to get Mark Antoinette Carpenter, I don't know, somebody in the revolution, they're going to be there as well.
Person who's not a musician.
They're going to get a French revolutionary musician. They're going to get Kid Cudi from 2010, 2011. I think that's when he was rocking in.
Yep.
While they're at it, they can visit Matty D at university and tell him to not give up his teaching career to be to be an unemployed actor and a podcaster.
Wow,
and to put the sauce down, put the drinks down. But yeah, they'll recruit Kid Cudi when he's doing a concert.
Yep.
They're going to go back to the 80s and meet their dads when they were young. We're going to get some nostalgia there. Yep. And recruit Slash.
Oh, of course.
Just why not? Why not Slash? Alrighty. And there's also like an ancient Japanese flutist that I couldn't...
I thought she was Chinese.
She might be Chinese. I couldn't pin down who she was. You might know, but...
We'll see.
I don't really know. She's there as well. I don't know who she is. And the last person they think, well, who would be a good person to perform with this? What about the king of metal? What about Satan?
Interesting.
So they decide that they're going to travel to hell. But when they meet Satan, who's credited as a voice in here...
Frank Welker.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in the trailer.
He mistakes them, or maybe he doesn't care, as he mistakes them for lost souls or decides they're going to spend eternity in hell anyway and puts them to work. So this is where...
What a jerk.
What a jerk. So this is where Bill and Ted reunite with his daughters. Remember, they went to heaven and they're now back down here.
Yep.
And they get to reunite. There's going to be shenanigans in hell. And they eventually find Death, who's playing a game by himself. And they decide, they describe to him what's sort of happened and the fact that they need his help. And he says, you know what? I can only get you out if I lose a game to you. So they make up like some silly game, like maybe hopscotch or something. And Death deliberately loses so he can help Bill and Ted because he's a good guy and we love Death.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And they use Death's truck to escape hell.
With Ted's dad for some reason, who's
with
there?
With George Washington, who's in my okay. flight. So using the watches, they go to medieval times and they find Bill and Ted, who are bards.
What are they doing there in medieval times?
Well, it said they were bards, but actually I'm going to say that they're in like...
Matty D, yes. Didn't you learn anything from last week? When they tell you something, you have to go with it. Because it never works out for you when you say, they're telling me that they're this, but I'm going to go against all the grain. Right.
But we see in the trailer, you know, that they're in a
mansion. Spider-Man Far From Home, it was never going to be a school trip, was it?
No, it wasn't, no.
It's just going to be, you know,
we see in this scene that they're in a mansion of some description.
Yes.
But in the credits, they said that they're bards. So I don't know. We might say that they're...
Because, you know, bards are only specific to one time
period. To medieval times. So I'm going to say that they're actually in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're
80s
in like
bards.
Yeah, they're 80s bards in like a mansion just chilling out. When they time travel to this point in the movie, the evil Bill and Ted are about to kill them, but original Bill and Ted come in, so we've got three sets of Bill and Teds right now to keep track of. And our Bill and Ted, the main ones, convince the evil Bill and Teds not to do it, and they tell the evil Bill and Ted that they should be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. And the evil Bill and Ted will be reduced to tears, and all three sets of Bill and Teds decide that they're all going to perform the concert together.
Wow.
Mm.
Make it like a super group of Bill and
Teds.
Yeah,
yeah. So the future Bill and Teds are like, well, we can't give you the song, but we can perform it with you because we're, you know, running out of time.
Should we rehearse? Nah.
Nah, they don't need to. It's a movie. So they go to a center of the world where everything is collapsing and they play an epic concert that's video and streamed everywhere and somehow reunites the whole world. All this stuff that's...
Everyone
holds
hands.
All this apocalypse stuff that's happening just subsides. Bill and Ted reunite with their wives. And that little story arc that doesn't really get time to explore settles.
So the wives are just suddenly happy with them now?
Yeah.
You saved the world, we're happy.
Yeah, we're happy. That's all we wanted. You just saved
the
world.
Well, Rivers kind of pimped them out to Bill and Ted in the first place, so they've never really had much of
a princesses.
Choice.
The princesses.
Yeah.
So the last scene will be Bill and Ted walking off to the sunset with their daughters, telling them about how they met Joan of Arc, in which one of the daughters will say, is that Noah's wife?
Recycled gag from the original. Well, your whole plot was recycled from the second movie, so I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
So then we will have a scene where the leaders are facing somebody and saying, well, you were right. We didn't think that they would be able to pull this off in such short notice, but you were right. Like, if we just lied to them and said that you had a concert that would save the world, they would live up to the bar. So you were right again, Rufus. And then we see Rufus,
who winks at the camera.
Who, this was his plan the entire time. He decided to let Bill and Ted believe that they were going to save the world so they would have the confidence to do so. And he smiles and winks, and that is the finish of the movie.
There we go. Well done.
It was a bit of a mess.
Yeah. Well, I think the movie might actually be a bit of a mess because if the previous two movies are anything to go from, they're always all over the place at any point. Mm. But that's kind of the point. That's kind of the fun of the movie.
Yeah.
It probably would be best if the movie is like off the wall and crazy and there was heaps of stuff going on because it wouldn't be a Bill and Ted movie.
It'd be radical.
That.
It'd be radical. So is your
Wait,
plot...
Wait, say that again?
It'd be radical. Hells yeah, brother.
No, our plots have similarities, but they are almost completely different.
Oh, tell me what you've got.
So let's get into it. So I think the movie, I won't say if this is a cold open because I'm kind of done with that, but yeah. So I think the movie will open with Bill and Ted performing at an open mic night in a dingy bar.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of a reference to you there, but their bar is actually called the Alibi Lounge.
Is it Taco Night?
And it's Taco Night. Yes, it is. I'll get to that in a sec. But yeah, I just want you to keep that in your back pocket. That is the Alibi Lounge. So when we see the movie next month, I can rub it in your face. So their audience is made up of one or two drunk guys who are mainly there for taco night, as we heard in the trailer. And Bill and Ted explain to the small crowd that they're tired of doing the same old songs, so they've recently been trying more experimental music. And they play a Yoko Ono-esque song, which doesn't go down well with the audience. They're essentially booed off the stage. So now we cut to Bill and Ted in marriage therapy, like the start of your movie, where both couples sit in at the same time. So their wives, Elizabeth and Joanna, want Bill and Ted to be more mature. Sounds familiar?
Yes.
But Bill and Ted explain that they need to continue playing music in order to one day unite the world. So Joanna and Elizabeth kind of want them to get regular jobs, be proper fathers, like they're constantly being asked to by everybody in this movie. But they're like, no, if we deviate from our goal, we can't reunite the world.
Yeah, the world will end.
So now we cut to Bill and Ted performing at a wedding, and here we discover that it's Missy getting married yet again, and you'll find this detail interesting, this time to Ted's younger brother Deacon, which is really horrifying if you think about it, because she was married to Ted's dad. Whoa. And would have had Deacon as a son.
Slow down. And what?
And so she divorced Ted's dad and married his son.
What?
Well, in every movie, Missy is married to a different person. So, and she's in this movie.
She's
got to be married to somebody else. There's a wedding there. I would think it'd be hilarious if she married her own son.
Ted's dad is in this movie as well?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow.
But yeah, she was originally married to Bill's dad.
Yeah.
And then obviously divorced him for Ted's dad. And then
and he's like, Ted's dad is in the groom's party, presumably. Yes. Or at least he's a guest.
Yes, he is.
And he's like, cool with that?
Yeah, well, his son's getting married.
Well, I guess he's happy then, yeah. Hey? He's like, oh, my ex-wife.
Maybe their original marriage did. Maybe she's been married a few times in between.
And it's just like,
maybe she's even married Bill and Ted at one stage. Ted actually did ask Missy to the prom in the first movie.
That's right, he did.
Before the events of that movie.
Oh, my God, that's so weird. So
yeah, I think that's a joke they would probably do. So back to the plot. Deacon, I think, will have his shit together and isn't at all like his older brother, Ted.
Of course.
Think that's just important to point out. And at the wedding, we'll be introduced to little Bill and little Ted, who, of course, are Thea and Billy, who are similar to their fathers in a lot of ways. We've discussed this already with your plot. Now, I think Thea and Billy will look up to their dads, but definitely prefer their older music. They're like, Dad, we're not really a fan of your
Yoko Ono style stuff.
Your new experimental stuff. Why can't you play your older music? That stuff rocked. But Bill and Ted, of course, play yet another experimental song. We see this in the trailer. And again, it doesn't go down well. After the performance, Ted's father scolds him for not having a proper job, like Deacon, and wants Ted and Bill to be better role models for their daughters.
He's just angry about the wedding.
He's just angry about everything. He's just angry about life. Maybe he threatens to send adult Bill to Alaskan military school again.
Send him to the military.
Later on, Bill and Ted visit Thea and Billy, who are rocking out to an old Wild Stallion song in Bill's garage. Billy and Thea try and convince their fathers to play more music like they used to, but Bill and Ted assure that they've moved beyond doing the same old songs again and again, which is an allegory for the movie. They're like, why do the same shit over and over again? People want new stuff. We can't just rely on the same old music.
Now the audience is like, no! We want the old stuff.
It's all very clever. So
look how clever you are. This one,
yeah. Well, there you go. And as they leave...
I'm sure it won't be in the movie.
Yeah, probably not. But as they leave, Bill and Ted are confronted by an egg-shaped time machine that appears in their driveway. And out steps Kelly, who introduces herself as the daughter of Rufus. There we go again.
Boom.
I also said that Rufus will have a brief cameo towards the end of the movie. Maybe he'll appear at the end and wink at the audience like in your plot, but he'll mainly just appear as stock footage.
Yes. Well, we know this. Yeah.
So Kelly tells the duo that they've been summoned by the Universal Council and takes them away in the time machine. And Billy and Thea witness this. Something we also see in the trailer. So far our plots are pretty similar with some minor differences, but I think things are going
to
take a change
very soon.
So they arrive at the Universal Council Chambers, which is a Geneva-esque futuristic world, which Bill and Ted will gape at and say, whoa!
I guarantee.
They are taken in front of the Universal Council, and the great leader tasks them with performing a great song that will unite the world. Otherwise, the universe as they know it now will fall apart. So Bill and Ted accept the mission and they're given instruments by the council. Again, we see this in the trailer. In the meantime, I wasn't exactly sure how to work this in, so I think I'll sort of take a leaf out of your book and just say that they're recruited by Kelly. But in the meantime, Billy and Thea decide that they need to help their fathers. So they somehow get a hold of another time machine, maybe the egg-shaped one. Let's say it's the egg-shaped one. And travel around history collecting the greatest musicians, sounds familiar, to play in Bill and Ted's upcoming concert. The musicians will include a Renaissance harpsichord player, a Chinese flutist. I couldn't name any of these
people.
Oh, so like
you don't know who they are?
No. I was just seeing if you did. And for some reason, the rapper Kid Cudi. So while they're traveling around, this is another interesting point
for you. Kid Cudi brings the drugs.
Yeah, maybe. They need that for the concert. So while they're traveling around, Billy and Thea will visit a young Bill and Ted from the first movie. You also had this.
Oh my God, wow. I thought it was unique.
Through the power of stock footage and Forrest Gump style technology.
Yes, yes.
And we'll have a brief conversation with them.
Whoa, are you like...
Whoa, babes!
Daughter? Oh my God.
They go full Back to the Future.
Oh no.
What a subplot that would be. Oh Jesus, they become their own mothers. No, let's not go down that path. Back with Bill and Ted after they've collected their instruments, they ponder how exactly they're going to write this amazing song. We know where this is going. So they decide on traveling to the future when they've already written and performed the song and steal it from their future selves. So they steal the iconic time-traveling phone booth. We talked about this in your plot already. I can see it happening exactly the same way. And travel into the not-too-distant future. And in the future, Bill and Ted are shocked to discover, we're not shocked because we've already heard it in your plot, that not only do they end up in jail, but Prison Bill and Prison Ted are muscular kings of the exercise yard. Prison Bill and Ted won't explain exactly how they ended up in prison, but will give a vague, nebulous answer. So right. Bill and Ted, our present Bill and Ted, that is, ask their future selves about the song that they sung to unite the world, and Prison Bill and Ted launch into an awful song about death, destruction, and darkness.
Okay.
Again, similar to your plot. So Bill and Ted accept this as the right song and return to present day. So they sing the awful song in a huge concert in Las Vegas with all the musicians that their daughters collected, and as a result, of course, this is a cacophonic mess.
What does that word mean?
Just noise with no real meaning. So imagine you got Kid Cudi up there beatboxing while someone's playing the harpsichord and someone's playing a flute and Bill and Ted are playing guitars all at the same time.
Jeez, Kieran, I need to bring a thesaurus with these shows.
Maybe you just need one in your general life. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so if you can imagine everyone's just playing dissonant music, do you know what dissonant means?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what dissonant means.
I feel like we've got a real life Bill and Ted in the studio here. But anyway. So yeah, they're playing all this music that doesn't go together at the same time.
Yep.
And it just sounds awful while they're singing this song about like death and destruction. And essentially, the universe begins to collapse in front of their eyes. So obviously the song has the opposite intent of its original.
And Ted jumps on a car when he sees this.
Yeah, that's right. So they run out of the studio.
In Paris.
Sorry,
they
run out of the stadium.
Which I didn't fit in my
mind. No, it's Las Vegas because there's a Eiffel Tower in Las Vegas. So that's why I said Las Vegas. So the world falls into chaos. And as a result, everyone is killed when the universe collapses. And of course, everybody ends up in hell.
Why?
Bill and Ted, you're done fucked up.
Why? They were all good people, right? Not everyone was evil.
I don't know.
Is that just the apocalypse?
Yeah, that's just the apocalypse. No one has any choice. They just, end of days, you die before your time, go to hell. Well, actually, maybe most of these people were partly responsible for the destruction of the universe, which is why they ended up in hell.
Okay. Because, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So
that makes sense why our characters are
in
hell.
Yeah. So while in hell, Bill and Ted decide that they need to get the old Wild Stallions band back together and perform a new song for the devil, who's now the only one who can reverse the destruction of the universe. Mm-hmm. They're doing a concert for the devil, the ultimate heavy metal gig. So Bill and Ted travel...
It's like the last mission in Guitar Heroes.
Oh, I've never played that, so yeah, it makes sense. So Bill and Ted travel around hell and collect the old members of the band, including Station, who is now a CGI monstrosity.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention Station is just one of the people that the daughters get in my plot.
Okay,
but we'll
enough.
Do
You're
very little
inserting
because,
that.
Because Station sucks.
So I don't think Station will be a practical effect in this movie. I think the original effect rightfully has been destroyed or has
burnt
or it's just decayed over the years. So I think they'll just bring back Station with bad CGI. And they'll also get the Grim Reaper, who now has a penthouse in hell, which we see in the trailer. And all the old members will have their own issues with Bill and Ted, mainly the fact that they destroyed the universe, but they'll ultimately be won over by the duo's goofy charms. Oh, I can't hate you guys. You're just so goofy. So with Wild Stallions reformed, Bill and Ted play an epic rock song that makes Satan himself give the devil horns. And the universe is brought back. It's like a Dio cover, if you can imagine that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the universe is brought back to existence through the sheer power of rock. Now, I just wanted to insert everything that I missed at this point. So at some point in the movie, maybe around this time, Bill and Ted will revisit their future selves. But instead of being in jail, Bill and Ted have retired to medieval / Renaissance times with their wives, who of course were originally medieval princesses. Yep. So they're meeting their wives halfway. They're like, you can't adjust to our world, so we're just going to have to adjust to your world.
Okay.
We're going to be what you always wanted. Bards in either the Renaissance or medieval times. Because it doesn't look like medieval times.
It doesn't. That's what
looks
got
too
me.
Modern. Yeah.
Because it's in the casting, it says they're bards. But
so it's at the point where they can make modern-esque structures. So, you know, like the Renaissance times.
Yes.
Where they're like modern manners were really sort of created. We see a lot of structures from the Renaissance
they're drinking
times
wine.
Still exist. Yes, exactly. So future Bill and Ted have become sophisticated noblemen and their wives are now very happy. But present Bill and Ted
this
say...
This is very excellent,
this
William.
This is quite excellent. They're actually already quite eloquent, so...
They are.
They don't really need to change that much, which is something I always thought was funny, because they use such, like, broad vocabulary.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But, the, like, in a jokey sort of, like, a doofy sort of way.
That's the humor of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Well done explaining the joke, Kieran. But present Bill and Ted say, to their future selves, of course, that they're not ready to retire just yet. And they return to their own time to continue to party on. And I think at the end of the movie, they'll tease
they
a
die.
Sequel. Yeah, they have a heart attack and die. They have a drug overdose.
Oh,
thanks
Jesus.
To Kid Cudi. Yeah, but at the end of the movie, I think they'll have a little tease of a sequel or a spin-off where Billy and Thea take the phone booth to go on their own excellent adventure.
That's something they're doing in these movies. They're you know, rebooting them almost.
And I love saying this, a sequel that will never happen.
No.
I don't think they're going to do it.
No.
So put that's my plot.
Put this franchise to bed, I think.
Yes, please. Yeah, I'm not sure we needed this movie after all, but it's something that they actually always wanted to do.
I have
do.
Some questions.
Yep, go ahead. Is this a new segment, Question Time, where we analyze each other's plots?
I'm just curious. Why did Prison Bill and Ted give them the wrong song?
So... Prison Bill and Ted are the future version of that current time where Bill and Ted screw everything up and destroy the world.
Yeah.
So that prison is essentially where they're put after destroying the world.
But didn't they
die? If that makes
sense.
Yeah, maybe they avoid dying. I'm going to say that they avoid dying. Like while they're running across the bridge, you know, Bill jumps on a car.
Yeah.
They get to the phone booth and manage to escape in time.
Yeah.
I'm just adding that in as an addition. This is something I just have pictured in my head, but I didn't make clear when I was saying it out aloud. But yeah, they don't die with everybody else. They manage to escape.
So it wasn't set up for failure. It was just that they were ignorant.
Yeah, well, this failure is actually part of the overall success.
Okay.
So this needed to happen for everything to work out in the end.
Okay.
If that makes sense. It was all predestined.
Okay.
Makes sense?
It does. It does.
You need a conflict in the movie. If we know in advance that they're going to succeed, then there's no conflict in the movie. So that's the only reason why. Makes sense?
Yeah.
I'm glad we're all across it. We're all on the same table. So there you go. So you, dear listeners, do you have your own theories on what you think is going to be in Bill and Ted Face the Music? You can let us know.
Who do you think was right? Who do you think was
wrong? Who do you think is going to be closer to the mark? And if we're both completely wrong,
who was closer to the mic?
Yeah. Oh, well done there.
Thank you.
Excellent joke.
I used my best material at the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, that was your best, was it? Your best.
Yes.
So if you want to let us know what you think or who you think is closer, you can send us an email at potentialspoilerspod@gmail.com. You can hunt us down on Twitter or Instagram.
You can.
Or even Facebook.
You can. Look at all those places.
Or you can just dump a comment on the Podbean website for this episode, on the Podbean page for this show.
Let us know if you're excited about a Bill and Ted...
sequel.
Sequel, yeah.
A third movie. With old man Bill and Ted.
Tell us if you're not.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear either way.
Do you reckon they should have ended it with the second movie? Do you reckon they should have ended it with the first movie, like a lot of people think for some reason?
Ooh.
Not me. Not Matty D.
Nah. They were great movies.
But that leads me to what we're going to be discussing next week. We're actually going to take a break from predicting movies. And
putting our feet up.
Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of a relax. We deserve a little bit of a rest.
Yeah.
And we're going to have another installment of our movie talk show.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking movies. We're going to be talking about all sorts of interesting things, which I'm very excited about.
All sorts of interesting things, yeah.
Just a little teaser.
Mm.
I think the theme of this movie talk episode is going to be something along the lines of the best and the worst movie ripoffs.
Oh.
Just a little teaser. It's just to whet everybody's appetite. For
all the possibilities.
But yes, I can't wait to get into that. So thanks for joining us for another episode. And until next week,
be excellent to each other
and party on, dudes.
You totally did it, dude. I totally possessed my dad. Okay.